Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. And our guest today is Justine Engel. She is a marketing director in the financial tech world, but her background is rooted in the arts. She studied marketing, Italian, and film and TV and accidentally kicked off a TikTok trend that she's still cringing about, but that's the internet. We'll have to circle back to that. She's done extensive work with Waif Magazine, and she tries to bring an artistic lens to everything she does, even spreadsheets. She loves exploring nostalgia, pop culture, and the stories that shape girlhood, which is why she's so excited to talk about Meet Samantha and the American Girl universe. Welcome!
Thanks, Erin, for having me.
Mars, oh, tell me about this TikTok trend. What is that?
Oh my gosh. So I might start crying as I talk about
Oh my
this
gosh.
because it hurts me so bad. There was a trend going around, I think, in like 2021 where you go up to a stranger and you ask them to record a video of you, and then you do something like absolutely ridiculous as they're recording you and get the reaction. So mine was going up to a random person in a Stop and Shop saying, "Hey, can you hold my phone for me really quick? I just like need to record a video." Them saying, "Sure." And then I started singing and dancing. And I probably did it about 15 times because the first one was supposed to be for my friends only. Like, I was like, my friends are gonna find this funny. I'm just gonna post it for my friends. Like, was feeling real silly that day. And oh my God, it just spiraled into something bigger.
Oh my gosh, that's absolutely wild.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
My God. And I would cry sometimes as I was doing it because it was so embarrassing for me. And I don't know why I
Yeah.
kept doing it. Like, I knew it was funny, but I was like, everyone was like, this has to be like a punishment for something. I was like, no, I think I'm very odd like that. It's performance art.
Gosh, that makes me think of that Halsey singing in a mall video.
Where are you?
But Justine and I met through book club. Childrey was just on the podcast. Childrey co-founded the book club, which makes it feel so perfect to be on a book podcast today discussing one of the first American Girl doll books, Meet Samantha. So, what is your story with Meet Samantha, Samantha Parkington, and the American Girl doll universe?
Samantha Parkington was, I think, an identity assigned to me via my family. So, my grandparents, they're a little younger than I guess Samantha would have been, but they were like, okay, this is like a classic growing up story. And I always wanted an American Girl doll, but I wanted the ones where you could like pick what they look like. I was like, I want a lookalike doll, but I think they were more expensive than the like classic American Girl dolls. So they were like, Samantha looks like you. Like, you guys both have brown hair and brown eyes. You're Samantha. And so I just took on this identity. But I really loved getting to know her. I thought that, she's so adventurous. She is a tomboy. And I really, really resonated with that because my family was like, put on a dress, put a little bow in your hair. And I was like, I want to climb a tree and dig in the dirt and like, eat chalk or whatever. And, Samantha felt like the kind of girl to do that. But I think now, rereading this as an adult, I was like, okay, this book is about like class and
Yes.
grief and privilege. And I don't know, it's just taken on a whole new life.
I was astonished reading this book, which is only like 60 pages.
Yeah.
And I want to talk a little bit about American Girl. So this comes out in 1986. And I thought, first off, I thought Felicity was the first American Girl because she's American Revolution. She was not. They launched three dolls at the beginning. One is Samantha, and then the other two really surprised me was Molly and we'll never know how to pronounce it, Kirsten. It is spelled Kirsten. Everyone gets six books. A little bit about 1986, Pixar is founded. It's the year of the Chernobyl disaster, two ends of the spectrum. And the author, I cannot find anything about this woman except what is listed on the back page, which is Susan Adler loved learning about what America was like in 1904 while she wrote about Samantha. Now she continues to learn about other times and places through her work in art conservation. Ms. Adler lives with her family on the East Coast. And that is it.
That's it?
That's all I can find about this woman.
Who is this elusive woman churning out Meet Samantha American Girl doll books?
I know. So we did a long time ago on the podcast, we did The Care and Keeping of You, which is an American Girl magazine book.
Right.
And Valerie Lee Schaefer, who wrote that one, I think was a writer for the magazine and got assigned it. So I wonder if there's an element of that in here, but she's an art conservationist, which is so interesting. I just don't know.
Oh my gosh. I don't even think there's anything in my book about Susan Adler. There's a dedication to my parents who made childhood beautiful, but that's the only personal touch from Miss Susan Adler here.
Which is a gorgeous dedication, by the way. That's so sweet.
Yeah, I love that. So strange.
Yeah. Great illustrations by Dan Andreasen. Gorgeous.
Really stunning.
Last week, I recorded an episode about Where the Sidewalk Ends. And my guest asked a wonderful question, which was, do you know anyone with Shel Silverstein illustration tattoos? And I wanted to ask, is there an illustration in here that you would get as a tattoo?
Oh, that's a good question. First of all, I want to say that I love these oval bust
Oh my God.
photographies that they
Yes.
have of all the characters in the beginning. I would stare at this page when I was younger for hours, being like,
It's
look at all of these people.
yes,
It's
it's
just such a
incredible.
creative way to capture it. I don't know. I really always loved the ants eating that cookie.
Yeah.
I thought that cookie looked so good, despite there being ants on it. I was like, yum, like a little jelly cookie.
Yeah. And I like that there are three illustrations of it on three
Yeah.
consecutive pages, and each one gets more and more ants. I thought that's so clever.
It's so great. I think maybe if I had to get a tattoo, I like the actions speak louder than words,
Yeah.
little sewing sampler, but I would like the unfinished version, I think.
Oh,
That is just
yeah.
super cool.
That's so nice.
Which one would you get?
Oh, I think I might get the gingerbread man. I just love gingerbread men. Or there was one, I might get like the face of the doll that she gets. There's something just so wonderful. Like it's luxurious and gorgeous and obviously expensive, but like also vacant that I really like. We've talked about American Girl a little bit just in our own time, and there's so much of these dolls that is about, which I think is nice in that it comes into the book, that is about wealth and class.
Yes.
That, like, these were not dolls you played with because there was always the understanding of how expensive they were.
Oh, yeah. My family nailed that into my head. And my doll sat on a shelf in my room that I wasn't allowed to access without permission. They were like, you can look, but you can't touch. And I would sit there and I would stare at them and I would read my books because I had Samantha and Nellie. I was super lucky. My grandparents really came through with that.
Yeah, Nellie is her friend who moves in next door in this book, the first book, and she's working for the family next door because it's better than working in a factory.
Yeah. Someone was sick. I think her mother.
Were they like coughing up a bunch of stuff because they're in the.
Oh, and Nellie got was sick at the end, which is why they sent her away,
Yes.
which spoilers, I guess.
For a book that came out in 86.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, the air is good and I don't have to work so long and I get good food. Only I don't see my family much and she has never been to school. And Samantha, I think, is really defined by her kindness. Like she gives Nellie her doll, her precious doll at the end of the book. It's just sweet.
Yeah, I think it's like her traveling back and forth between her own home with like Grand Mary and the like luxury that she's in, and then running over back to where Nellie doesn't even live but just works. And that contrast, it's just about her kind of, I think, recognizing the inequality that's happening like before her very eyes. Like it's, you could see like the gears turning in her head.
Did you read all of this, all six, seven of the Samantha books?
I did, yeah.
Do you
It was a
remember?
great story. I think, and this might be like, this is my hot take,
Ooh.
as I think Nellie should have been the main character.
Yeah, I agree. But I think maybe they had to. Maybe they couldn't do like Little Orphan Annie doll in the beginning because
That's
Samantha
true.
definitely like I did not identify so like Kirsten was my doll, which is I think I actually was a Molly, but I don't think my sense of self was strong enough to acknowledge that until I was like 20, and so I'm glad no one pegged me as a Molly when I was younger because it would have done a lot to me negatively.
Oh my God.
But I love Samantha's big bows and I love her little locket. Her aesthetic is fantastic.
Oh, she's always dressed to the nines. Something else that really kind of shook me reading this again was like, she's really obsessed with her uncle. And it borderlines strange for me on this read. Like the first time around, I was like, oh, like that's her favorite person ever. And now I'm like, maybe she's doing a little too much.
She is an orphan, and so she's, I think, like really latched onto him. But he's not there. And I think that's a pretty classic thing of like, you like the parent or the guardian who's there less because you're just exposed to them less. It's interesting in this book because they're clearly setting so much up. Like, the uncle's only in a scene or two, and he has this girl that he's clearly courting who she does not like. Samantha does not. And everyone has little descriptions in that beautiful cast of characters section at the beginning. And this girl, Cornelia, is described as an old-fashioned beauty who has newfangled ideas, which I love. Way to go.
That was the girl that I identified with also. I was like, oh, she's so progressive. Like she's like her hot take, which I guess this is not until a later book, but her hot take was like, I think women should vote. And Grand Mary was like, I can't believe she would say something like this. I can't believe she would put these crazy ideas out there.
And they have this looking back section. You know, it starts with what Samantha's house looked like and the clothes that she had to wear, and then it gets into suffragettes and what it's like to work in a kitchen and what Nellie's like apartment might have looked like. But I agree, Nellie certainly has this book is not plot heavy, but Nellie has a lot going on, certainly.
Her whole story from start to finish, Nellie is just struggle. It's and Samantha's journey is like watching someone else's struggle and then realizing, wait a second, suffering exists because I'm witnessing it. But I mean, to be fair, she is an orphan. Like she has suffered. And I think that. And this is maybe getting again too far ahead, but I know that Nellie's parents pass away also. So they both end up orphans, which brings them closer together in the end. It's weird. I think that this book probably subtly introduced me to the idea of class privilege before I even like had a word for it. It's like I think I was like 8 years old when I read this for the first time, and I think I knew it existed, I guess, growing up and looking at the way that I was living and these extravagant things that my peers had that I didn't. And that sort of was like, why not? And these dolls were really one of the first nice things that I had. So I understood like they needed to be up on a shelf out of reach from me, but it was so, I don't know. I'm getting a lot of thoughts right now.
I think some of those early moments for me, because I did not read these books. I had a couple Kirsten ones, but I don't think I ever cracked them open. But I think I remember those moments definitely of going to other friends' houses and like, oh, this, they have more. For me, and growing up on the East Coast, this is so different from LA, but still in my mind, like if someone has a pool, they're the 1%. Like a pool is the defining luxury in the world.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That was the one thing. Or if somebody had a garbage can that was in a cabinet drawer, like, you know, those
Oh.
pull-out ones, I was like, whoa, what is this? Like,
That's so true. I never thought of that, but you're absolutely right.
my school that I went to, we had like multiple towns go to the same school. And one of the towns, I think, was like one of the richest in New Jersey. And so if you befriended somebody from one of those towns and were set up for a play date, going to their houses was like going to Disney World. I remember I went to this girl's house. She had like a movie theater and like a basketball court, and she never used them, like didn't care about them at all. And I was like, you live like this. Like,
I had some mean friends in high school, but I think one of them was like, Aaron lives in the bad part of town. And I was like, we live in a suburb of DC. We are, no one here is in a bad way. Like
yeah.
we are all fine.
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess you didn't read this as a kid, but I was gonna ask if there was something that jumped out to you this time that you maybe didn't get the first time reading it, or if this was your first read through.
Yeah, I was really surprised by the Jessie storyline, who is the seamstress in the house, who is a black woman, who they Nellie and Samantha, she has to stop working for Grand Mary. This freaks out Samantha, and she and Nellie follow her one night and discover that she's living in the segregated part of town, which is not as nice, and the fences are falling apart. But there's still, she meets the gorgeous baby and loves him. And that was really surprising, too. It's not only dealing with class, but also race.
Right. Yeah, that was something else as a child that I think that was around the time where they started, at least in my public schools, like teaching us about, I guess, more in depth about segregation. Around probably 8 years old. And so that was very on theme in this book. The only thing is, they made a movie of Meet Samantha. Did you ever watch?
No, but I was gonna ask about it. Tell me more.
So I don't think they included this part with Jesse and Lincoln, who is Jesse's husband. I don't think they include them in the movie.
Wow.
So at least not to my. I've watched it a couple times and it really is not sticking out to me. Maybe like Jesse existed in their house, but definitely not the storyline showing that they live nearby, but in poverty, but like in worse
Wow.
conditions than what Nellie's experiencing. So I think that's a little bit we
Yeah,
need to
because
investigate.
I feel like that's one of the biggest sort of tent poles of the book. Because I mean, not a ton happens, but I think second to Nellie, that's the biggest part. And like you said, this is definitely Samantha waking up to her place in the world. And that's such a critical part of understanding her place and like very intersectional of American Girl. Way to go.
Yeah, I wonder if this, I know I said like Nellie should have been the main character, but upon second thought, I wonder if this is kind of the best way to kind of introduce children to like empathy and class differences, because I feel like the target audience, like the girls who had American Girl dolls, typically, not always, but typically came from very people who could afford these dolls, right?
Definitely.
And there is like a point of privilege if you can afford to get an American Girl doll, especially at that peak time. Like that was like they were highly priced. I think that this is maybe makes it easier for little girls to put themselves in Samantha's shoes. Like, oh, I live at home, like, and I have this beautiful place. Wait, I also see that people around me may have less, and kind of, I think maybe this is, maybe she should be the main character. I'd like to take my statement back. I think she should be the main
I think you're
character.
absolutely right. I definitely thought of Samantha as aspirational. of like, and I also think even though she is a tomboy and she's climbing in trees and stuff, if you don't read the books, I don't think you know that. She looks like sort of the picture of femininity, this sort of like ideal. And so I think you're slipping so much in through that because when you purchase it, all you know is the doll and maybe, you know, the back of the book, but I think you're absolutely right, which is so genius.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing there.
Yeah.
I was surprised that she was a tomboy
Yes.
because when my this gift was given to me, I was like, oh, she's such a girly girl. And I was like, this is what they want me to be like. My parents would literally
Exactly.
try to dress me up as like a Victorian baby doll as a child. And I was like, oh, this is what they want me to be. They want me to be like this proper young lady. Oh, like Grand Mary seems very like how they would treat me, like sit down, cross your legs, be quiet, all that kind of
Yeah.
stuff. Then discovering that, oh, on the side, she was actually a tomboy and she was fist fighting with her neighbor Eddie and like climbing trees and yelling at people and loved her uncle and his girlfriend with newfangled ideas. And then I was like, wait, that kind of is me.
Yeah. Oh, that's gorgeous. I am interested to know through the other books how those girls deviate from the expectations that are set up. If I had all the time in the world, you know, I would definitely do a PhD study on the relationships between women and dolls and daughters. Because I also really experienced like my mom trying to dress me up and like I hated dresses and even now, you know, I'm almost 30 and I'm like, well, if I wear a dress is like is my mom gonna comment on it and be like, you hated those when you were young and now and do mothers treat their children as dolls or that's a huge thing that's always floating in my mind.
Oh my God. I wonder if like is it conditioned? Is it because, when you're a little girl, you're given a baby doll and you're like, you have to take care of this. You get to dress it up the way you want. And then when you're given a baby, when you have a baby in real life, then you're like, okay, I don't really have any experience with this, but calling back down deep into my psyche, I guess I
Right.
just like carry it around and dress it up.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
wow. That is something to think about. I know that, like, this also, I think, going back on, is my mom gonna yell at me for wearing a dress? Like, it is so deeply ingrained. Like, to this day, if I put on anything that's sort of feminine, I feel like I'm in costume. Like, I feel like I'm in not maybe drag, but it's just like, this is not who I am at the core. And I think that was also how Samantha felt. Like,
Yes.
she wanted to run around, and I think I don't know if it was this book or another one, but she talked about how dresses were very impractical. Like they did
Yeah.
not make it easy to climb trees, and it was a way, it was something that held her back a lot. And I was like, speak on it. Like,
Yeah. It's a very sort of subversive idea or set of ideas within this really privileged world. I so clearly remember being between like 8 and 10. My mom and I went on like a little day trip up to New York, which is like 3 or 4 hours from where I'm from. And we went to the American Girl doll store. And as we were like walking up, a full limousine pulls up. And a bunch of girls get out with their dolls, and they're all matching head to toe, and they flood in to go to like the hair salon and the tea. And my mom and I were just like, maybe we'll buy a pair of shoes. And so that was, my mom still loves to talk about that moment.
Whoa. How did that make you feel, like as a
Oh.
young child?
I think what's interesting about being a child is how much you, up until a certain age, just hear your parents' thoughts and you're like, well, that's how I should see the world. And I think my mom saw that and was like, that's ridiculous. That is silly. So I think I adopted that. But I don't know. And it's so fascinating that her getting a doll is a big part of the book.
Oh my gosh, another key point. Like not that this is all about me, but like getting a doll was such a big deal for her, and
Yeah.
this was also a really big deal for me to get a Samantha doll.
Yeah. Yeah, there I feel like every person I have talked to about American Girl has that same refrain of could not touch it.
They were so high quality. I think they
Yes.
probably still are, but it was like the clothes were real. Like everything was so well made. There were so many little details put into everything. They're really, really beautiful dolls. I think mine are stored like safely in my parents' attic somewhere, but maybe I'll break them out soon.
My mom is very big in the Girl Scout history world. And so I know that my dolls are in rotation wearing like little uniforms as part of like history displays, which is good. I'm
Love
glad
it.
they're getting use.
You know what I thought was interesting? I feel like maybe not as much recently, but there was definitely a trend that was going around that brought the American Girl dolls all back. It was like super nostalgia, but they were doing aesthetics based on the American Girl. I was like, which one are you? Like Samantha's like dark academia, and like she does vintage clothing hauls and social justice carousel posts. And you know, what were the other ones? It was like, you know, Kirsten is doing like is making butter from scratch, like very Nara Smith, you know, influencer type. I think that is such a standout thing for our generation, like growing up, the American Girl dolls, like it just keeps coming back on cycle. We can't let it go.
No, because I think it's such a critical, like, at least in like the aughts when we were growing up, I feel like it was such a cornerstone of forming your young identity. It was like, which American Girl doll do you have and what's your Disney princess? And that was the pillars. Yeah, it was like before you had, are you a Carrie? Are you a Miranda? It was which American Girl doll are you?
That's true. The quizzes on the American Girl doll website, you know, that place was great. Those
Oh,
flash games were so wonderful. Like, I don't know if they
definitely.
still exist.
I bet they do. I bet they're out there. But I wanted to talk about also she and Nellie sneak out at some point and go find Lincoln and Jesse. Did you have any like shenanigans and hijinks as a child?
Ooh, well, let's see. My shenanigans and hijinks. I remember a time that my next door neighbors were doing construction on their house. And for a brief moment in time, there was no fence dividing our yard. And I was very much in this phase where I wanted to live in my backyard. And we had this little, like, kids' house thing. That's generous. It was like a little wood structure. And I was like, I'm gonna live in this and I need to make a stove. So I snuck over onto my neighbor's property and I started stealing bricks like from the construction site. And I built a little like oven in my backyard. And I was trying to light a fire in the oven. And one of the construction workers came outside and was like, you can't come over here, like don't let me catch you, like, give me those bricks back. And I was so scared, I was like, no. And I ran inside and I like hid, and my mom was like, what's going on? Go back outside, like it's the summertime, you're not allowed in the house, like get outside. And I was like, I can't, I can't. And like she went outside, the construction worker was yelling, I had to give all my bricks back. It was really, that was like the kind of stuff that I typically got into, not, you know, petty theft, but a lot of just like outdoor things, a lot of testing boundaries. There was like a river across the street from my house. I wasn't allowed to cross the street, but I would from time to time do a little sneak away.
Oh, I love that. When you were describing going over to like the fence between you and your neighbor, it reminded me that there is this like greenery tunnel that Samantha describes a couple times, which is this wonderful metaphor for like her, and you said this, the book is her going back and forth between worlds. And the tunnel is the connection, and she like meets Nellie there, and that's where they go to meet before they go on their secret mission.
Yeah, it's so good. And the string, the two tin cans connected by a string, I was like, that's genius. I tried to make one. The problem is that I didn't have any friends that lived close enough that that
Me
would
too.
work. I was like, you know, trying to get my younger brother to talk with me through the tin can. He wouldn't do it. He like crushed his tin can. I was like so pissed. But the equivalent of that is like I had walkie-talkies and I would try to walkie-talkie with my friends, the
Ooh.
modern day equivalent of a tin can.
Oh man, walkie-talkies were huge. Yeah.
And then did you do like Picto Chat on like a Nintendo DS?
Yes, there were like field trips where everyone was on the Nintendo DS chat room for like hours at a time, which in hindsight is like, how did everyone afford a Nintendo DS? That's one of the moments where you're like, oh, I'm in a certain class in
Right.
hindsight.
Right.
But those were
Another
fun.
moment to acknowledge privilege. And this was super exciting as I was getting into the Meet Samantha books and like the Samantha world, is that there is actually a historic building in my town that is from, I mean, it's actually from the Revolutionary War. Like George Washington stayed in this house during the Revolutionary War. But after that, it turned into a home, like a beautiful, big, luxurious home for kids that grew up like the same time as Samantha. So, like, you know, in 1904, there would have been a girl living there the same age as Samantha. And they gave tours at this house and they were free because we lived in the town. And I used to make my mom, I would drag my mom there. I'm like, please, like, just another tour. And they didn't change the tour. I would just sit through it on repeat. I had it memorized by, I don't know, the third time around. And if I ever went there, like, on a field trip, I was that annoying kid that was like,
Yes.
I know, like, oh, let me tell you about this. And they were like, please be quiet.
Oh my gosh. But in college, I worked at a house like that as a tour guide. And so being on that's so cute. Oh my gosh. And I know
That's
that
awesome.
that museum did a lot of programs with young girls. And so they had retired it by the time I started working there, but they used to have a program where all the girls could like dress up in 19th century clothing. And they
Oh
have a little
my
section at the
gosh.
back of this book about clothing and what you would have been wearing if you were Samantha. And I think some people want to dismiss that as like, oh, fashion show, whatever, but I think it's really it's one of the most tactile ways to sort of like leapfrog into an understanding about history, into that exercise of empathy, is putting yourself in the literal shoes.
Yeah. It was not comfortable. The like stockings were made of wool and super itchy and so many layers that they would wear also. That's so great that they had those dress up programs. Ours had crafts for girls so we could learn how to do needlepoint the way that they used to, and like they would have like tea, like you'd have to practice how to have like a fancy tea party. And I just thought that was cool. And they had ones for boys too that was like tying knots and, you know, learning to play these old-fashioned yard games and climbing trees and stuff. And I wanted to do that one. I was like, can I do the boy one? And they said no. So I did the girl one instead, but I really wanted to be there.
Yeah, that's reminds me of a phrase I see a lot on social media of like, if gender roles have to be really strictly enforced, if you have to have someone saying, like, no, go to the girl side, you have to go to the girl side. It's like maybe they're actually not real if we have to
Yeah.
work so hard on keeping them in place.
Absolutely.
You have a daughter. Would you one day expose her to American Girl?
If the budget allows it, well, I think so. Yes, I do have a daughter. Her name's Louisa Cassiopeia, and she's 9 months old. Love that girl. She is incredible. But I think that I will definitely give her my American Girl dolls. I don't know if so much to play with because I think at this point they've reached a very fragile state. But I think going to the American Girl doll store was something that I remember so vividly in my childhood. And I actually recently took my partner's younger sister is 13, just turned 14, and I took her to the American Girl store because she had never been before. And I was like, you have to, like, we have to go. And we got her first American Girl doll because I just think that is such a pivotal moment that every girl needs to experience. So of course I'm going to take Louisa and do that. I think that they do such a great job of helping girls acknowledge that they don't need to fit into these gender norms, because I think every American Girl doll was such a strong, complex character. They were not shallow. They passed the Bechdel test, that whole thing. And it's like you can express yourself any way you want. Like, if you want to dress girly and be a tomboy, you can. There are American Girls that, dressed up more boyish and acted more girly. And I just want her to be whoever. And I think this is like a great introduction into that. And I would love to share that with her. And maybe she'll also get weirdly obsessed with different historical time periods like me, and we can yap about it.
Were you really obsessed? I mean, you talked about that museum. Did you pursue this sort of turn of the century time period elsewhere? Did you have like other really specific historical interests as a kid? I know some kids have
Yeah.
Egypt and.
So I was obsessed with Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, obsessed to the point. So my middle name is Laura, but Laura. And so I was like, Laura Engel, like Laura Ingalls. Like, maybe I'm like, okay, be so for real. But I was obsessed with the books. I watched the entire TV show. I still watch the TV show. It's an excellent show. I'm going to show Louisa that. That is like, that show came out in the 70s, and it's set in, the Wild West essentially. And they like talk about everything, gender, race, class, war, everything. I'm like, that is a perfect show. So I was obsessed with that. I was obsessed with like the Titanic and that whole time period. And also like around the 90s. So it's a very, I would say between like 1860s to like 1930s was my, I was like locked in for that time period.
Oh man. 2 years ago when I started the podcast, I think like the fourth episode was Little House in the Big Woods. And that book really, when I was little, my mom really wanted me to read those. And because she wanted me to read them so bad, I didn't. But I was really, that was a really wonderful book. I was really surprised by it.
Yeah, that's a great time. So unfortunately, I was like that kid where for Halloween, everyone was dressed up as like a princess or, some celebrity, and I showed up like I dressed up like as a prairie girl
Hell
for
yeah.
Halloween. I was like, I'm Laura Ingalls Wilder, and they were like, well, ew, you're not sitting at our lunch table.
Did you have like living history days where you had to, I think in elementary school, you had to like dress up as a historical figure and like prepare a little paragraph to be like,
Yep.
yeah, did you do Laura
Yep.
Ingalls Wilder? Because I think I did.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did. I volunteered myself. No one asked me to do this. I made a diorama
Hell
of
yeah.
a one-room schoolhouse, like a little red one-room schoolhouse. I literally put like desks and chairs in it. I put like little mini candles.
Oh
I
my
spent so much
God.
time on this, and I like gave it to my school's library. I was like, this is like what like our school used to look like back in, whatever. I think it was like the 18 I was like, in the 1800s, this is what our school would have looked like. I like researched it, and then they put it up like on display, but I was so
My
nobody
God.
asked me to do that. I don't know why I did it to this day.
I'm obsessed. How old were you?
I think I must have been like 11.
Oh. Oh my gosh, I love that. As a big like I have discovered I really like dioramas and such, and I think that's fantastic.
Okay, so we should make like dioramas sometime, is what I'm
Yes.
hearing.
Oh my gosh, yes. How do you like choose toys for your child?
Oh, I love open-ended play.
Oh.
So I like her to come up with the ways that she plays with the toys. I'm really scared about, like, not to sound so woo-woo, but I'm like microplastics and all that. So she has a lot of like wooden toys, and I really am. Haven't given her anything that like has batteries and lights up and makes music and sound. And she will play for, she's really great at independent play. So she'll play for a really long time with her little wooden toys. Anything that kind of encourages imagination. I was like a Montessori preschool teacher for a while, and I so much like so many side
So much
quests.
lore.
But I was a preschool teacher for a little bit, and it was in a Montessori school, and a lot of that is having just an open-endedness, just giving them a container of blocks and seeing what they make out of it and not forcing one thing over another. Like, you don't have to organize it by color or whatnot. So I just want her to be able to explore creatively and also naturally. Like, she's happy if I give her a stick. If we're outside and I'm like, pass her a stick, she's like, woohoo! So not nothing fancy.
Oh, I love that. I was wandering around Target or something recently with my boyfriend, and I realized I had a lot of planes growing up, like plane aviation toys, because my dad is a pilot. And so that makes sense. And I was just thinking a lot about like how the interests of parents sometimes can manifest in, because my dad's also an architect, so I did a lot of building and a lot of blocks, and I
Oh,
had
nice.
one particular gorgeous set of wooden blocks that looked like a Russian cathedral
Whoa.
because my mom is a Russian scholar, which
Oh my
I
That's
think is like,
perfect.
of course. So that I think that's so neat.
I think maybe I'm very like outdoorsy, so I love hiking and camping, and so I have gotten her like woodland animal toys, like little wooden like woodland animals, and I want to get her like a tent, like a play tent for her room. So I could definitely now, upon you saying that, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, especially art and stuff, like a little drawing pad for her. I'm like, I like this, you might too.
Oh, but I love that. Because I think it always comes from such a place of care and like wanting to share and connect.
Yeah, I think that the one thing I'm trying to be mindful of, especially, is that if she shows like a certain interest in something, to just be able to embrace that instead of redirecting it. So my parents are trying to redirect my interests if it didn't align with theirs. And if she one day wakes up and is like, I only want motorcycle toys, like motorcycle toys she gets, and I will be there,
Oh, good.
encouraging it.
I love that.
I have questions about like your American Girl doll experience, and I guess like I don't want to divert too far
Go
about
for
like
it. Go for it.
Kirsten, but do you feel like your perspective now as an adult, do you think that they sterilized the books too much, or did they show just the right amount of struggle for children to read?
Yeah, not remembering the Kirsten books at all. Just going on this one, I think they absolutely do a really good job because I think they have such an astute approach to how they do it. Like it's not, I don't want to say it's like candy coated, but it does go down really easy because it starts off very aspirational and then talks about not in a, I think it is just enough. Like, we don't have to see Grand Mary saying something really racist to Jessie to understand that the world treats her differently. And it can be just, she lives in a really crummy neighborhood. What's that all about? And Lincoln says something like, well, we're not allowed to. And just that is enough to make you go, oh, why is that? I think that does a really wonderful job because kids are able to make those questions. What do you think?
Right. No, I think they did a great job. I was worried that I would be disappointed on an adult read through where it felt very childish, but it didn't. I think this was perfect for a really wide age range where, you could read this to a young kid and there's stuff that's obvious enough that they would understand it. And then for maybe like a teenager, like it's still good. I think it's a great read. I think the movie goes into a little bit more graphic depictions of what's going on, which I thought was really interesting because I remember being scared at some parts during the Meet Samantha movie. There's a very graphic factory scene that scares me. Like a child really injures himself in the factory, and that always stuck out to me. And I was like, that is harsh. But I don't know if they put it in the books. I think they did great. I'm a fan.
I did look. This is 1904 is 7 years before Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. One little thing on the back of the book that I just wanted to read that's sort of like a mission statement from American Girl. American Girl celebrates a girl's inner star, that little whisper inside that encourages her to stand tall, reach high, and dream big. We take pride and care in helping girls become their very best today so they'll grow up to be the women who make a difference tomorrow. I was blown away by that.
That is like chills, honestly.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I love it. I loved revisiting this.
Yeah, this was really fun. And I, not that I forgot that it existed, but I was like, oh, I gotta get Lou on this
Yeah.
American Girl doll stuff. Yeah, I there's a statement on the back of mine that's different because it talks about the American Girls collection. And I guess
Right.
this is just when there was Kirsten, Samantha, and Molly. And it says like, you can share their worlds, their friends they make, their struggles and successes they have in school, the excitement of their Christmas secrets, their birthday celebrations, and their summer adventures. You'll see that some things in their lives are very different from yours, but others, like families, friendships, and feelings, haven't changed at all. These are the important things that American girls will always share. These are the traditions that come alive in the American Girls collection.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. And there's one Samantha book where she is on a boat in the midst of a storm that I might want to crack open one day because that looks just
Oh,
wild.
that's a thriller. That book is a thriller. I couldn't put that one down. I had my little reading flashlight. I was under my covers and I was locked in. That's a good one.
Oh, I bet. Oh my gosh. Well, would you consider this required reading?
I would consider this required reading.
Yeah.
I would say that this is, I mean, any of the American Girl doll books should fall under the required reading. I think it's kind of maybe not the Samantha one specifically, but an American Girl doll book, whatever speaks to you, that is required reading.
Yeah, and there's so many entry points. I think it's such a brilliant concept of the dolls with the books, with all the different time periods. I think it's wonderful. Absolutely.
It's great. It's such a world. It's not just a
Yes.
book like the American Girl doll. It's a world. There's
Yeah.
so much to it, and I think that it's something that deserves to be explored.
And that, I mean, this book is almost 40 and still like not groundbreaking, but kind of still really
Yeah.
subversive. Yeah.
Still relevant.
Definitely.
Which I think is also another, as another side note, it's like the fact that this is 40 years old and still relevant just shows how much, I mean, it says these are the important things that American girls will always share. And they're
Yeah.
kind of right. This is something that is, continued out even till today.
Yeah, hell yeah. I was very surprised. Well, rounding out, is there anything you'd like to plug? Anywhere you'd like to be found?
You can find me on Instagram or TikTok. Both of the usernames on there are Killer Pumpkins, but with a Z.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah. Well, I will stop the recording.